Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Please call in. It's 844-500-4242. It's a gorgeous Monday here in New England. I actually wanted to start with a Truth Social from Donald Trump, which I think is a very insightful and a very important hypocrisy to point out as we see this footage of what's going on at Columbia and Yale and really all of these campuses across the country. Trump wrote, "Why are Palestinian protesters and even rioters allowed to roam the city, scream, shout, sit, block traffic, enter buildings, not get permits, and basically do whatever they want, including threatening Supreme Court justices right in front of their homes? And yet people who truly love our country and want to make America great again are not allowed to peacefully protest and are rudely and systemically shut down and ushered off to faraway holding areas, essentially denying them their constitutional rights systematically." Trump wrote on Truth Social, "America-loving protesters should be allowed to protest at the front steps of courthouses all over the country, just like it is allowed for those who are destroying our country on the radical left." And there have been protests outside of Trump's courthouse and, you know, following him around the country, but there does seem to be two ways of handling this. You know, and it seems like if you're there to support the president, you get totally different treatment from people who are sitting out on the Golden Gate Bridge, for example, stopping traffic. And Trump's not the only person speaking out about this. A lot of people are getting sick of this nonsense from the activists. The activists who, by the way, nobody's got anything else to do. Nobody's got a part-time job while they're at school. Nobody's got a class to go to. I saw today on Twitter somebody wrote, "Don't any of these students have class? Like, I remember having class when I was in school," and somebody else replied back and said, "This is class." And I thought, it's so, so true. I'm sure there are professors saying, in lieu of the reading, if you go to the anti-Israel protest / sit-in / autonomous zone, you will receive a certain amount of points on your next exam. This is class. This is what they want. The teachers, the professors have been promoting this ideology and this agenda for years and years and years. And the kids finally have a chance to show it off. I saw one of these protesters had a sign that said, "Why can't I just use all of the teachings that Professor so-and-so taught us?" And she named some professor at, I think it was at Columbia. And I thought, she's got a point. Like, you guys taught us this. You taught us all about this resistance and these peaceful protests and the apartheid and the occupation of Gaza. This is what's being taught at all these left-wing universities. And these kids are just putting in what they know. They're just putting their knowledge to use. So we shouldn't really be surprised. But Trump is not the only person who's had enough. Actually, Senator John Fetterman. He's Emma's senator. And he's quickly becoming my favorite senator, which never in a million years. But that's why they say politics makes strange bedfellows. It really does. Like, the people you find yourself going, huh, I'm on board with that, what that guy's talking about, you never can guess who it's going to be. So it's John Fetterman. He's extremely pro-Israel. And this is what he had to say about the activists, or as Jake Novak on our show called them, the urban terrorists who are defacing Starbuckses and sitting on bridges and disrupting traffic. This is Cut 12.
It's completely reasonable to want a ceasefire or to have a different view on that. Absolutely, that's a democracy. But it is not appropriate or legal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble, it just makes you an a**. it's very American to protest and to do that in the appropriate way, then I absolutely support that. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
Yeah, and I love how he says, like, you don't have to agree with me, because I feel the same way. It's like, you can protest whatever you want, but the second your protest starts to hinder my ability to get to work and to make a paycheck, then that is no longer classified as a protest. That is classified as a pain in my ass. That is classified as a major nuisance that needs to be fixed. Your protests, your sit-ins, your hunger, you want to have a hunger strike? Have a hunger strike. But you stab somebody in the eye with the Palestinian flag, now we've moved on from the passive, you know, oh, hunger strike, you know, this is my right to protest. Now you've crossed the line. And there are several lines, and people get that confused. But what's weird about it is people get it confused, but they don't get it confused when it's the January 6th protesters. Then it became very clear that it didn't matter how much Trump said peacefully, march, protest peacefully. That got out of line, and boy, did those people pay a price. They're still paying a price. They're still in jail doing their time for that riot that got out of hand. When it comes to these riots, when it comes to the police having to arrest 40 people at Yale, when it comes to people getting stabbed, when it comes to all of this, people lighting themselves on fire, I don't feel the same level of concern from our politicians and from figures of authority. Let's go to Nick. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Two things, and they both speak of the same thing, the corrupt Department of Justice. I saw the Columbia professor complaining, with due right, of course. They won't let him on campus for his own safety. My question to him would be, why have you not notified the local U.S. attorney's office? This is a violation of your civil rights. As for the people protesting, every male participant that has committed some sort of an offense should be brought before a federal judge and asked to display or prove whether he's registered or not for the draft. If you have not registered to the draft, right, it's a $5,000 fine and up to $250,000. If you have a college loan, you will lose that loan because to sign a college loan in your mail, you have to indicate and sign that I have registered for the draft. If not, you've lost your loan. You will have to repay it. And same thing, 5 years in prison and up to $250,000. The Department of Justice is corrupt. This is a campaign issue here because just like other people, the illegals committing crimes, other non-illegals can commit crimes and not face the Department of Justice. Why? Because they're corrupt. That's all I have to say, Grace. What do you think?
Thank you for the call, Nick. As far as the young males involved in these protests, I don't think, and I understand what you're saying about the professor who's being stopped from going into his office, and I'm sure if there's any legal justice that awaits, he is going to pursue that, because I saw a video of him, and he seems very well-spoken and very passionate. And he's very pro-Israel, and he does not like what's happening on his campus. And because he's, you know, I'm sure he's one of the few people there who has that POV, I think that he will make sure that he gets some sort of justice, whatever that is. As far as young men or any of these protesters seeing court time, I tend to doubt it. I mean, think about it like this. In New York City right now, a lot of these schools that we're talking about, Columbia, for example, it's happening in New York, right? And they're telling the NYPD to kill themselves. Do you really think that any of these protesters are going to see jail time? You can go to New York and push somebody in the subway and you can be out by 3 o'clock and not see jail time. I'm just saying, like, the bar's got to be pretty high. I wouldn't really put my money on the fact that the spoiled brat students are going to get in trouble for any of this protesting if it turns violent. And I say that because I don't care if they want to protest, and they shouldn't get arrested for just protesting. That's their right. But if what's going on and what we're seeing is true and people are getting stabbed and things are getting out of hand and things are getting violent with the NYPD, then of course they should have to face the music. But nobody has to face the music in New York anymore. Nobody has to face the music anywhere. That's part of the decline of this great nation. Elena, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Elena?
Hi, I'm infuriated by what's going on with a professor, Saeed Avidai, over at Columbia. Violent professors, Joseph Massad, Muhammad Abdu, they're allowed on campus. This is from one of his posts. The ones that are making the rally are allowed on campus, but a Jewish professor is not allowed on his campus. And the fact that they're saying they're keeping him safe is BS, because this is exactly what happened in 1930s Germany. This is how things started. And I don't understand why more people haven't studied the Holocaust and don't see this exact pattern repeating itself right now.
Yeah, Elena, I was just going to say that is the excuse from the university is, listen, we're not letting people in that building. We're trying to keep people safe. Things are getting out of control. I think they're also telling Jewish students, maybe it's best. And this is something we've seen at other schools. It's rather than lay down the law with the people who are causing these disruptions and threatening people, because that's what a lot of times is happening here with these Jewish students, the people that are doing the threatening are kind of allowed free rein, and the people being threatened are told, basically, hide away and don't come out of your rooms and hope that this eventually subsides. What do you make of that, Elena?
No, the Jewish, it's horrendous. The Jewish students are told that they could have their classes on Zoom today to keep themselves safe, even though they're paying for their education also. I know one of the local synagogues hired extra security so that tonight people could be escorted from their Seder to their dorm room safely, individually escorted from a Seder to their dorm room. This is America in 2024, and Jewish students can't feel safe going to a Passover Seder on their own college campus. It's really scary how quickly history is repeating itself.
Elena, can I ask you, when you look at obviously the young people on these campuses are so completely warped to one side of this argument, and I would say they're wrong on so many fronts, but it's not just college students. We're also seeing it in Hollywood a lot. We're seeing it in pop culture. This seems to be a very trendy thing. This anti-Semitism is in vogue right now, and I would love to hear your take on that.
Oh, it's absolutely in vogue. I mean, even every time now I see a pro-Israel or anything on Instagram, people have to write, disclaimer for the IG fact checker, this post is merely a viewpoint or opinion. It should not be construed as fact, even though it's obviously fact. Because for years now, anything pro-Israel or against their narrative has been censored. This is a larger problem, obviously, not just on the campuses, and it's going to come to other parts of society next.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Elena. Please call back in the future. We loved hearing from you. And Elena just made me think of something. We're talking about how trendy this is with celebrities in Hollywood. I don't know if people saw this. You know the model Gigi Hadid? She's a huge model. Her mother, Yolanda Hadid, was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills at one point, and then her daughters became these international superstar models. And their father, Mohammed Hadid, they're very, very pro-Palestinian. They're oftentimes, posting things on social media. Their father got caught sending Instagram messages to Richie Torres, who's the representative from New York, calling him horrible things. They're homophobic, racist posts, and just anti-Semitic, just horrible, horrible things. And that's the father of those two models who have so much sway with the young people these days. I'll give you more of an update on that when we come back. But now, listen up. You've waited through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March, and look at it outside. It's getting warm. It's getting nice. It's what you've waited for. You've made it. But spring, while it means more flowers and sunshine, it can also mean the sniffles. It can mean more pollen, more allergens, and feeling stuffed up. So finally, you got what you wanted. You got here, and now you got to grab the tissue box. Well, I have a better answer for you. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is here to eliminate any pollutants or allergens floating around in the air. And with a 3-pack special, you don't have to move your thunderstorm from spot to spot. You put one in your house, put one in your car, and one in your office. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE and the number 3 to get the 3-pack. With the thunderstorm, you can enjoy this beautiful time of year without having to have any sort of sneezing attack or anything like that. They're lightweight, they're easy to use, they don't take up a lot of floor space, and here's what you want to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE and the number 3. Don't forget the code GRACE3. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Another thing that really drives me crazy is all these protesters with their tents and their signs and their chants and their flags. They never forget to bring the masks out, the COVID masks. Like, I don't know if now maybe COVID is contagious in these encampments or these autonomous zones, but I've noticed that. And Megyn Kelly put it out today and she said, you know, these cowards, they can't even show their faces. Like, if you believe so strongly that you need to protest and that your activism is going to somehow change the mind of Bibi Netanyahu and the other military leaders in Israel, and your voice needs to be heard, you need to stop the Golden Gate Bridge from operating. You need to shout, "We are Hamas," in your little encampment in Colombia. Then at the very least, take off the N95. Let us see your face. Let us see your proud, smug, intelligent face, right? You know what's best. You know what's best for foreign policy. You know what's best for Israel. You know what's best for all of us. Show us your faces. Don't we deserve to see the people who are going to be making all of these big decisions around the world? They like to trot out the masks when it fits them, when it suits them. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by FlipLock. You may already have a home surveillance system, but what's going to physically stop an intruder from breaking down your door? The original FlipLock is the answer. Learn more at FlipLock.com. That's FlipLock.com. Really great device. I've already gotten some reviews from people who purchased the FlipLock and who love it, so make sure you do that now. Emma, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question is, should the Republicans oust Speaker Mike Johnson? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no, not because I'm happy with Mike Johnson, not because I'm happy with the way things are playing out right now. I'm going to say no because I don't think they'll have the votes. I think if they don't have the votes, then Clyburn comes in and saves him either way. And then it's the same result, but it's just another way for Democrats to say, oh, look at us. Oh, we reached across the aisle to save you losers yet again. So I'm going to say no. I don't like it.
70% of the audience agrees with you. 30% says yes.
Now, we were just talking about Hollywood and the Democrats in the White House, but I repeat myself, they're all part of the same team. And how this pro-Palestinian, and it's really anti-Israel sentiment, is so pervasive across that group. And someone who's broke free of this is Michael Rappaport. So Michael Rappaport, he's a bit of a lightning rod. I know he has podcasts. He does some sports commentary. I know he was on Barstool for a while. I actually know him best from being a guest star for a couple of episodes in Friends way back when. But this is what he had to say. He was speaking to the Free Palestine crowd, and this was his comments, cut 14.
You know it's going to be great when Donald Trump gets elected, and I ain't saying I'm voting for him, but when he does win, and he's going to win, the screaming and yelling that you ass miserable mother on college campuses are doing now, the screaming that you're doing at Jews about free Palestine, the screaming that you're doing at Zionists is going to be nothing compared to the screaming you're going to be doing come November when Donald Trump wins presidency because of you. Because of you. And historically, Google me. You know how I feel about Donald Trump. But it would be worth the screaming, the crying, and the yelling. I can't wait to see those protests come November when Donald Trump wins because of you little b****s.
I don't think he's off on that. We'll discuss it more when we come back. Do you agree? Is Trump going to win, and is he going to win in part because of these nuts on college campuses? We'll talk about it.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I do want to play some of these sound cuts of Trump outside the courtroom, but I want to wrap up here with this conversation about the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protests that are all over the place, specifically today in New York City. I just played that sound from Michael Rappaport, and I got a call from my friend off the air who said he actually was just on Fox because he's at a pro-Israel rally, and they showed him. And here's a guy who hates Donald Trump, like hates Trump with every fiber of his being, like so many people that we know. And I'm sure that in the last election, Michael Rappaport probably thought he was a one-issue voter. And the one issue was anyone but Trump, as long as it's not Trump, orange man bad. And I think a lot of people in this country for the last few years have been one-issue voters. And that issue is Trump. And I wonder, because you see it with Rappaport, I wonder if you see it with other people, where if you're a Jewish Democrat in the United States of America, and for a very long time, and you're a Zionist, because, you know, as the media loves to point out, there are some Jewish people who are not, and, you know, Jewish Voices for Peace, and, you know, those people. But for Jewish Democrats in this country who are Zionists, who believe they have a right to exist, I have to imagine that even if you were a one-issue voter in the past, and that issue was, I can't let Trump win the election, I have to imagine that there's a new issue that's taking over for you that is superseding your hate for Trump. And that issue is whether or not we are going to be a country that openly spews anti-Semitism and openly roots for the evil terrorists who want to eradicate the Jewish people from planet Earth. That's got to be the issue. I would think. Tim, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Grace. Yeah, after seeing all these anti-Semitic rallies on these college campuses, unfortunately, the first person I thought of was Rachel Maddow. You know, she launched her book called Prequel in October. I saw it on CBS Sunday Morning. That was the weekend before the horrific attacks in October. I'm just wondering, that book, you know, was about how fascism was trying to spread anti-fascism onto college campuses in the 30s. And she was trying to liken it to the MAGA movement. And I'm just wondering, you know, how she feels about it now. And I don't think it aged well. I wonder how the book's doing.
Yeah, and I'm really tired of, and I think most people are tired of this idea of the MAGA part of this country being demonized as some sort of violent, racist bigot. Because it couldn't be further from the truth. And you know what, Tim? I had David Marcus on last week. He's always a very, very wise person to talk to. And he's very perceptive. And I said, do you think Katie Couric has the right description of a MAGA voter? Well, Katie Couric was saying, we're jealous. You know, we hate Katie Couric because we're jealous of all her nice things. I don't, in fact, hate Katie Couric. And I don't care. I'm happy for her that she has a house in the Hamptons. I'm happy for her that she sits around with her very intellectual friends and they talk about intellectual things. And I have no sense of jealousy with that. But that's her perception of MAGA voters. We're these jealous, anti-intellectual haters, basically. And I asked David Marcus about it. I said, do you think she has a correct description of MAGA voters? And he said, I don't think there is one MAGA voter. Half the country voted for Donald Trump. It's a lot of different people, a lot of shapes, a lot of sizes, a lot of different colors. There is no one MAGA voter. But if you listen to a Jamie Raskin or you listen to a Liz Cheney or you listen to a Nancy Pelosi or a Joe Biden or a Katie Couric, they have this kind of caricature in their minds. And I'm going to give you an example because there's this Democrat who's running for Congress, right? He's running for Congress and his name is Nate McMurray. He's running for Congress in New York. And when this aid package passed over the weekend, in this weekend session, he decided to put out this tweet. Slava Ukraine, die MAGA, die. You lose. And now we're the hateful ones, right? We're the dangerous ones. We're the ones promoting all this violent, disgusting rhetoric. And by the way, then he decided to get in a fight, this guy, Nate McMurray. I was going to read this because it's always hard to describe Twitter back and forths, but it is really amusing. Then after saying die, MAGA, die, this guy who's running in New York, which, by the way, you might say, well, he's running in New York, so he can say that. Lee Zeldin came pretty damn close to beating Kathy Hochul. Like, there's been some close. I wouldn't be so quick to ostracize MAGA voters, even if you are in sapphire blue New York. So anyway, though, this guy, Buzz Patterson, is a former Air Force pilot, White House military aide, carrier of the nuclear football, and best-selling author. So he writes back to this guy, Nate McMurray, and says, what do you know about war, son? And McMurray, who's obviously very arrogant, he's a beautiful combination of arrogant and stupid, which I would say is the Sonny Hostin model. You know, only a few people have that, and it's really breathtaking when you see it in person. So McMurray writes back, okay, Rambo, I'm glad you're able to make a living off of your military service. How's your socialized pension? Now, this is where Patterson finishes it. He says, I'd be enjoying it a lot better if my money wasn't going to Ukraine. Why aren't you going there, by the way? To Ukraine. They're hiring. But no. Nate McMurray only wants to talk a big game. He doesn't actually want to help at all. He just wants to, you know, help from here. Cheer it on from the sidelines. 844-500-4242. But that idea of, like, what it means to be MAGA and how this is all part of the MAGA move. We're all the dangerous ones. And then you wake up every day and you see these hateful, spoiled, ignorant young people who are so angry, screaming and whining and bitching and moaning about how everything's wrong and everything's our fault and everything's Israel's fault and they have all the answers. And I just think people are sick of it. I think people are tired of the whining and they want somebody in charge who can actually make decisions and actually bring a little bit of common sense to these situations. Because you can say whatever you want about Trump. This was not happening on his watch. In fact, you know how I know it wasn't happening? Because all these same people who are now having these encampments, all these people pitching their tents were pitching fits about Trump's tweets on social media. They didn't have wars to bitch and moan about. So they just whined ad nauseum about Donald Trump's eating chocolate chip ice cream. And now they found a different cause. And they're not going to shut up about it. You can be sure of that. Another thing I wanted to say here is that last week there was a line in Politico, and I thought it was weird because it basically said, like, as fact, that Donald Trump's court cases and court appearances are helping Joe Biden. But it didn't link anything. And usually Politico is pretty good about that. They don't just write things and, you know, not give you any follow-up. So I'm looking at that and I'm saying, are there polls that came out that show this that I'm just, you know, not aware of? Where is the evidence that these court cases that Trump's being forced to go to, his campaigning capabilities right now are really limited. It's why he's staying pretty close by Pennsylvania, New Jersey area. He's going throughout New York City trying to create viral moments there and succeeding. But it's definitely putting a hamper on what he's able to do, which I think is the purpose of it. But I don't know if seeing him in court is having the intended effect that Democrats think it's having. I think a lot of people look at this guy and go, whoa, he's fighting it on all cylinders. He's operating every single day with a different fight. He is the underdog in this situation yet again. And Americans really like an underdog. I'll tell you that right now. That's something I noticed even when I was little. I would watch these stories or these sports teams, and I'd watch things with my dad, like the Masters, and it was always the guy, the story was always the best if it was the guy who had everything stacked against him, the guy who nobody thought was going to win. That was always the person everybody pulled for. And they're doing that now with Trump. They're creating a martyr. And the polls, as much as Politico and other people might be getting different polls, Jack, the polls are starting to show that. And I'm not going to do that thing where I just say it and expect you to believe me. Don't believe me. Let's go to CNN. This is Harry Enten on CNN. He's talking about Trump's likability after these indictments. This is cut one.
This is viewed favorably across Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. In the 2020 exit polls, what do we see? 50% of voters view Joe Biden on average favorably in those states, compared to just 45% for Donald Trump. Look at the Joe Biden trend line where he is now. Joe Biden is far less like than he was 4 years ago. Just 43% of voters now view Joe Biden favorably in these states. And Donald Trump, despite everything that has happened, is actually slightly more liked. 47% favorable rating. So this isn't just a lesser of two evils that's going on. The fact is that Donald Trump is, in fact, better liked than he was 4 years ago and is better liked than Joe Biden is right now in these battleground states. It's pretty gosh darn clear.
The only thing I would change about that, and I actually think Harry Anton usually does a pretty decent job on CNN. He's like one of the few people I can stomach. There's a word in there, two words that he missed. He's talking about Trump's likability and the indictments. Three words. And he says, in spite of all of this. I think what they're really missing here is there's a big part of this that's happening. This sudden re-energized base, this sudden enthusiasm from Trump supporters, this sudden curiosity from people who are pretty apolitical but just kind of watching from afar. It's not in spite of all of that that his likability is increasing. It's because of all of that. Stephen A. Smith said it on Friday. He said, I know that Trump got in a lot of trouble for saying this, but black people are watching Trump and they are connecting with him. And Trump said it and he got dragged on the internet. Stephen A. Smith said, I'll say it right now. I think the same thing. And so I think you have people who are watching this. They see what's going on with Joe Biden. They see how much he is failing. And they're missing the good old days. They're missing the days when the biggest thing you had to worry about was, did Trump put too much fish food into a koi pond? And I had this conversation with Chris DeGaulle today, and we were talking about how Trump is going to go to New Jersey and why he would do that. And I said, it always, for me, goes back to this idea that Trump never rules anybody out. Like, I think Biden has ruled a lot of people out. As MAGA people, Neanderthals, people that hate him, people that are never going to vote for him. I don't think Trump ever does that. And sometimes it's to his detriment, but sometimes, and most of the time, it's his greatest strength, is that he's going to go to New York, he's going to talk to people at the bodegas, he's going to talk to people on the street. He's never going to feel like he can't win you over. And that's what makes him Trump. Tommy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hi, Grace. Thank you. Appreciate all you do. You know, Grace, 2-3 days ago, I saw a Palestinian protest. And the saddest thing was the American flag was burnt. And, you know, our police are don't do anything. They're not allowed to do anything about it. And I'm just horrified. I have a pickup truck. I go down to the Boston Commons now and then just to admire the Boston Commons. And I can no longer go down there. I have a little flag on my truck and a few other small, you know, representing America, this beautiful country. And I had to give up going down because these guys on scooters were starting to surround me and break my mirrors. I don't know. It's very late. It's very late. We have lost our country.
Tommy, where are you from?
I am from South Boston.
You're from South Boston?
Yes.
Yeah, so South Boston tends to be a little... I would say, would you consider South Boston to be rather conservative now? I think it's kind of hedging that way over time.
Oh, yeah. I'm putting bars. I put bars on my basement windows last week. You know, if somebody creeps in there and I come home from grocery shopping or from the hospital... they're not going to be removed.
Thank you for the call, Tommy. I appreciate it. My parents are both from South Boston as well. 844-500-4242. Yeah, I just, you know, I think what you're seeing here, and Tommy just mentioned the American flags. Katie Porter, who thank God is not going to be a senator from California, she was asked about that last week by Hillary Vaughn. She was asked, you know, do you condemn people burning American flags? She couldn't come up with an answer. She wouldn't respond to Hillary Vaughn. And again, you're not saying should people who burn American flags be arrested? No. If you want to burn an American flag, that's part of living in this country, is people have fought for your right to be as terrible as you want to be, to an extent. when it comes to freedom of speech. But it doesn't mean that as a politician, as someone representing the United States of America, that you can't say, yeah, I condemn that. That's horrible. That should be easy. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. People on the lines who want to talk about these universities, who want to talk about Joe Biden and what's going on, and we'll get to all of it. But I love that cut from Harry Enten on CNN. Dumbfounded that Trump's likability has spiked in the last 4 years despite the indictments. Again, Harry, pay attention. It's not in spite of, it's because of. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
All this talk of these universities and Trump's court cases and the guy from the National Enquirer. And I almost forgot to mention that Hillary Clinton is in the news today. Hillary Clinton thinks that Donald Trump wants to lead like Putin and kill the opposition. Now, if Jared were here, he does have the day off. But if we were going to play a cut of Hillary Clinton talking about somebody else killing people, Jared would have a lot of thoughts that I probably would have to then have him dump. Michael, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Grace. How are you? Great to hear your voice.
Thanks, sir. You too.
I just wanted to... It's so funny you call me sir. I just wanted to share with you. I've been... they talk about the... Jason Whitlock has a fearless podcast, and
yes.
He was talking a lot about the African-American community and how they're moving towards Trump, and you'll have a lot of prominent people in the entertainment industry who are just literally just dropping any notion of having any connection to Biden anymore. And then back to you mentioned about the gentleman there from ESPN. I can't think of his name now. You mentioned him earlier.
Michael Rappaport?
Stephen A.
Oh,
Smith.
Oh, Steve Smith, yes.
Yeah, so Stephen A. Smith, again on Hannity, I think you referenced it, but he boiled it down to, he said, what inflation is to, and he quoted, as us black people, us black men, is money in our pocket. And he boiled it down to that, and people say I had more money in my pocket when Donald Trump was in. And I think that's a really relatable thing. And Donald Trump's being more and more relatable. Of course, you know, oatmeal brains is walking around and can't figure out which way to get off the stage. So it's becoming more and more apparent, and yeah, Jason Whitlock's really on fire about that. So I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to him and let you know how much I enjoy your show every day.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it. Yeah, and Jason Whitlock's great. He's interviewed Sage Steele, who also was on the Morning Wire today, and he's just done a great job with everything. And as far as people backing away, you're right. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Rappaport, The Rock recently said that he endorsed Joe Biden last time around. He will not be doing it this time. And as far as the black community goes, when it comes to inflation is that issue that's affecting everyone. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter what skin color you are, what age you are. You are feeling it in your wallet, and that's going to get people to vote one way or the other. Thanks for the call, Michael. We'll be right back with more.